Dear Heavenly Father, once again we turn to your word and we seek the blessing of the Holy Spirit who inspired these words to understand them aright and to take comfort from them and encouragement from them and help us to be blessed by them. Lord, may we live by your word each and every day. Forgive us for the times where we have not. Lord, I ask for a coal from your altar to be able to speak for you today, for thy name's honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to start with a question. What do we got? Oh, this? All right, here we go. So the question, who are you? And the answer is a child of God. So who are you?
A child of God.
All right. Does Jesus love you? Yes, he does. Do you trust him?
Yes.
Amen. So I'd like to invite you to turn over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and we will pick it up in verse 46. Mark chapter 10. Verse 46. We have these ominous words. Now they came to Jericho. Now when you study Jericho in the Bible, Jericho is always a problem. Jericho is never the solution in the Bible. Jericho is always the problem. And you go back to the beginning of the Bible in Joshua's day, and you're studying about how they're coming up against Jericho. And this was a formidable city in their path as they are beginning to make their way into the promised land, and they don't know really what to do. And you find Joshua on his face before the Lord. And of course, God shows up, and Joshua says, "Are you with us or are you with them?" And the angel says, "Well, I'm not really for either, but I'm here to invite you to be on God's side." So sometimes it's not sometimes we wonder if God's with them or with us, and the question is, are we with God? And so Joshua and the people, they put themselves on God's side. They went across the Jordan River. They were able to march around the city, and in, you know the story, after 7 days, they marched seven times, and then they blew the trumpets, and the walls came down. But Jericho stood in the way of the promised land becoming a reality in the promises. And so I want to ask you, what stands in your way of the reality of God's promises being fulfilled in your life? What stands in the way? You look at the promise of God, you look at this problem, and that's your Jericho, right? That's our Jericho. So we have another situation in the Bible. We have a man who gets up in Jerusalem, and he's going down the road to Jericho, and he falls among thieves. So Jericho has always been kind of a symbol of not God's people, and Jerusalem's always been a symbol of God's people. So we never really want to find ourselves going from Jerusalem to Jericho, necessarily, as far as a place for a solution in life. Now, it's not bad to go and be a missionary in Jericho. Jesus went to Jericho to be a missionary, right? And he found Zacchaeus in such a place. And so we have stories where Jericho has always been the problem, and there's always been a problem associated with Jericho, but we always find Jericho being defeated. And the problems of Jericho are always defeated in the Bible. They are never, Jericho is never victorious. It's just not the case. But Jericho is something that a person doesn't want to get involved with. In other words, as far as being a symbolism of the world, we don't want to go from God's world to Jericho's world to be living in Jericho, necessarily. We'll go there to be a missionary to Jericho. We'll go all kinds for Jericho, but we're not going there to live in Jericho. But they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude was with him. And blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Now, I had a little trivia question this last week. I was talking to the kids in the school, and the kids that I was talking to were pre-K up to first grade. And so I said, I have a little question for you. who is the son of Timaeus? And they're like, Timaeus. I'm like, no, that was a hard question. That was a university level question. Nobody knows who Timaeus is in the Bible. But I want to tell you, Timaeus had a son by the name of Bartimaeus. And I told these little kids, I said, now here's something interesting about Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus didn't have just your usual run-of-the-mill problems. I don't know what your problems is. Maybe your lead on your pencil broke today, or maybe your toy went missing from your locker. Maybe you can't find your gloves to go outside. Maybe these are your problems, but these aren't the run-of-the-mill problems that Bartimaeus had. Bartimaeus had a problem. His problem was that he was blind. Now, I asked these little kids, I said, imagine being in this classroom when you're blind. I said, everything in this classroom is designed for you to see it. And we got the letters, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, all along the a little first grade classroom. It's got all the letters over here. It's got all the numbers over here. It's got colors over here. Everything in the first grade pre-K classroom is designed to be able to see, right? So I said, just pause for a moment with me and just shut your eyes. And I said, just shut them. And they shut their eyes. They were really cool about it. And I said, I'll shut my eyes. But here's what's going to happen. When I shut my eyes, I'm not going to move. Because if I start moving around, I might trip over one of you. And so I'm not going to do that. So we find Bartimaeus here. He is not moving because he is blind, right? He is sitting beside the road. And when you're blind back in Jesus' day and you're sitting beside the road, you're there for one reason. You're hoping people will come by and you're hoping that they will have mercy on you and that they will put an offering into your basket, into your hat, or whatever you might have there. And that was your way when you were blind or when you were crippled or when you were lame. Back in Bible times, this was the way you made a living. I said, so this was Bartimaeus' life. He sat by the road begging. But I said, there's something interesting about blind people. And I asked the kids, have you ever met a blind person? None of them had. And I said, I've met a few blind people. Maybe someone here has met some blind people. But the interesting thing about them is they usually have quite tuned-in hearing. They can hear just the slightest little noise. And they have tuned-in feelings of touch. So they can sense things in other ways that we, since we have eyesight, we can't. And so I was telling the little kids, I said, have you ever gone in an elevator and you see those little dots there on the side? I said, we touch those things. We can't even feel the difference between one dot and the other. But a blind person, that's a letter. That's a number. They can tell all those little dots just by the touch of their fingers. And I said, they have books that they read, and they don't have words in their books. They have dots all in their books, and they read across the pages with their fingers. And the kids' eyes were kind of big about this. I said, so, you know, but blind people, their senses and their hearing is tuned in. And this is good because the Bible asks God's people to have their hearing tuned in, right? What the Spirit says to the churches, the Lord says in Revelation, hear. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so he's tuned in with his hearing. And in verse 47, it says, when he heard, he didn't see, when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was on his way, that it was Jesus of Nazareth with this crowd. Somehow, I don't know, he could hear the din of the crowd and the conversation and going back and forth, and he started putting things two together. Jesus must be in that crowd. Now, he's heard about Jesus before. I mean, when you're a person in his state in that particular time, you hear about miracles going on. You hear about deaf people having their hearing restored. Crippled people are walking again. We find dead people being raised to life. We have all kinds of interesting things happening. And here is his chance. He hears that Jesus is in this crowd. And he began to cry out and say something very interesting. He says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, this is interesting because not everybody addressed Jesus like this. When you're addressing Jesus like this, you're addressing him as a royal heir with messianic implications being that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, a lot of people, they looked at Jesus and thought, he's a wonderful healer. He's a good man. I would love to have him in my neighborhood. It could be wonderful to have someone like Jesus in my neighborhood. But to bow down and worship him or to consider him God, the creator of all that is, nah, no, we know where he came from. He came from Nazareth, and we know that nothing good comes from Nazareth. But he would make a good neighbor, and we would like that. But not blind Bartimaeus. He has heard the stories enough to know that this is not just any ordinary man, and he addresses him as Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, he's asking for mercy because when you're blind in that day and age, when you have any kind of situation where you're in a detriment, you had someone coming along called a Pharisee who says, you know what? You have not been serving the Lord correctly. And God is frowning on you. And you are cursed. And so they went around with this idea that not only did they have this physical ailment, but God was mad at them. Right? But in hearing about Jesus, that Jesus had never turned anybody away, he would call out to him and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, it's interesting what the response is from the crowd in verse 48. Many came over and warned him. Now, I don't know what this was like. Someone maybe shook him by the ear or something and said, Bartimaeus, be quiet. Can't you see that Jesus is busy? Don't bother him. He's got a crowd of people. He's on his way. He's on a journey. He's got a mission to accomplish. Be quiet. Did he? No. He says, he cries out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49, I love this. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called, you know, it's interesting how people will sometimes switch their tune right away. Oh, I'm sorry, Jesus, you really want to see him? Okay, we're all good with that now. So they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. At first they didn't want him in, you know, it's like, you're a bother. You know, now you're, anyway, you see what's happening. He, throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. He didn't hesitate. He just got up and went. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, now this is interesting. He says, go your way. Your faith has made you well. The faith in Jesus as the Messiah, in the healer, one who would be a solution to a situation. Your faith has made you well. Now, here's what is I find really fascinating. Did he go his way? He didn't go his way. You're right. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. I think that's great. Now, what does this have to do with us? You know, you find other stories in the Bible. You can go to John. You can find the story of the blind man who was blind from his birth. And disciples asked Jesus, you know, was it this man's sin or his parents that caused this situation? And Jesus says, no, but this is for the glory of God. And he heals that blind man. At the end of the story, there is a discussion going on in the temple as they're about to throw this guy out of the temple. And in the final discussion, they asked this question. They said, are we blind also? There was this recognition that there's a different kind of blindness that we can suffer from. That's not just physical blindness. We can suffer from spiritual blindness, can't we? We can. You hear this term in our world, I was blindsided, right? Or you have a blind spot when you're driving down the road in your car. We can have these situations where we're not aware and we don't see everything that there is around us, and we can run into a Jericho, right? We can run into a problem with these things. The question for us is, when we run into a problem, when we're blindsided, when we realize we can't see and understand all that there is, what do we do in that situation? Are we listening for Jesus? Are we, when we hear of Jesus, are we then crying out to him, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me? Or do we look in and despair and give up and maybe limp our way back to Jericho? That's what we don't want to do, right? That's what we don't want to do. We want to get up. We want to come to Jesus. We want to ask him to have mercy on us. And when he asks us, what would you want me to do for you? We say, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And when he opens our eyes, rather than going our own way or going back to Jericho, we want to follow him down the road. Now, the reason why I bring this story up is because when we hit some major obstacles in life from time to time, right? You name it, and we can call it a Jericho. You know, there are major issues that come to life from time to time. And we can sometimes, in those situations, we can feel really blind. And we can be like, you know, I don't know which way is up. I don't know which way is down. I don't know to go to the right. I don't know to go to the left. I have no idea what is the solution to the situation. And here we have a story that addresses that. We can come to Jesus and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Open my eyes. Now, I just tell you a little story here. Maybe you've heard of the man John Huss. Have you heard of John Huss? John Huss was one of the reformers. And John Huss was going back to the Bible and getting his teachings from the Bible, and pretty soon he had authorities from the church inviting him down for a visit. He knew the authorities were not always kind and pleasant, so he obtained what was then called a safe conduct, which was a contract saying, you come down and visit with you, we'll guarantee your safety to be able to get back home. So he comes down and he visits with them, and they promptly erase the safe conduct and arrest him. And they put him in jail. And he's there and he's interrogated about his teachings from the Bible and so on. And eventually they decide that he is a heretic and he must be burned, because his heresy is going to infect the rest of the world and people might just start following the Bible. And they don't want that. And so they decide they're going to burn John Huss. Now imagine if you had spent your entire life studying the Bible and you were trying to do everything you could to follow God and obey his will, and you got in a situation where the recognized church leaders of the day are now going to burn you. How would you feel? Would you feel a little bit like, I'm not sure where this path is headed? Not sure where this road is going? Not sure how I'm going to get, you know, God, I need some help. I can't see. I don't understand. I don't understand the circumstances of my life. I don't know where it's all going. There was a movie on John Huss, and you can go and watch it, an old movie, and he's portrayed there in the dungeon. He's got this candle, you know. He's writing letters to friends or whatever, and he sticks his finger in the candle, and he's like, ouch. He's like, man, if I can't even put my finger in a candle, how am I going to be burned at the stake and stay faithful to God? Well, the day comes, and they lead him out to the stake, and they light him on fire. Do you know what John Huss was singing as he died? He was singing what blind Bartimaeus was saying. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And this is how John Huss died, was singing these words. Because John Huss could not see where things were going. The circumstances looked all against him. It's like, what in the world? I have no idea what the meaning of this. How can God's word continue to progress if people are going to be burned at the stake for following God's word? We have no idea. And he's blind as a bat as far as understanding where this is all going. But he knows there's a solution to blindness. He knows that the solution is in Jesus. And he dies singing these words, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now it occurs to me that whenever we encounter a Jericho or whatever problem is that we can't see our way through, that this is exactly the appropriate thing we should do. We should cry out to God Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, blind Bartimaeus' eyes were opened. And as we lean on Jesus and lean into his word, our eyes and our understanding and our discernment will grow. And we will soon know the way wherein we are to walk. We have promises in the Bible that say, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, whether you turn to the left or whether you turn to the right. The idea of that verse is don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, follow straight on with God's word. That's the idea behind that. So we may not always understand life's circumstances, but we can follow Jesus down the road. And one day, in the resurrection that is soon to come, John Huss's eyes will be opened, and he will understand all that God accomplished through that situation. He will see that there was a great reformation that broke out later on. He will see that his country turned to the Bible and broke away from the traditions of men. He will see what God has worked and what he wrought through that moment, one little piece of time. There's a quote in the Spirit of Prophecy. I like these words, and I wish I had them right before me, but I don't. But it says, when we get to heaven, we will look back at our life and we will see it as a series of uninterrupted victories. You know, our life sometimes when we face Jericho looks like uninterrupted defeats. But when we get to heaven, our life will look like a series of uninterrupted victories because what God has done and what God is doing in our lives. Our goal right now is to listen for him, to hear him, and to call out to him. Our closing hymn is Day by Day, and it's an appropriate hymn. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Let's sing this song together, hymn number 532. Let's stand as we sing.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly is part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not face, sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, take as from a Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these stories in Scripture. And we too, in the times of our Jerichos, in the times of the troubles that beset us, Lord, we ask and cry out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, send us forth with the blessing of renewed sight, that we might discern your presence in our lives day by day, and we will trust you till you come in the clouds of glory. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.